Hi and welcome to another episode of Solo BG Podcast. This is episode number 62 and I'm very excited to be here with you another time to talk about board games, of course. And if this is your first time on the show or on the podcast, well, welcome, of course. And this is a podcast where we focus in board games, that right, but mainly in solo and cooperative board games. But once in a while, once a week at a month, give it or take, we talk about a solo with friends, which means an episode where we talk about a board game that it cannot be played solo or cooperative. That's right. So I hope you enjoy today's show. We're going to talk about a very unique game that is based on a famous video game. As you read on the title of the show, we're going to talk about God of War, the card game, published by Simon or Common or Cool Mini or not. And again, it's a game designed by Alex Altenew and Phil Barros. Anyway, I hope you stay here today. And before we talk with the show, about the game, like always, you know, I use this introduction part of the podcast to, you know, tell you first in these difficult times of everybody staying at home. Well, just to tell you and share with you the same thing, you know, just stay safe, stay at home, stay with your families if you're fortunate enough or blessed enough to live with them. And if not, so stay happy, stay safe, try to use all the resources and tools that you can get, such as the cell phone, call your friends, your loved ones, your family, Skype, Zoom. FaceTime, whatever, manage all your resources like in the games, right? To try to stay in touch with your loved ones. And also, you know, this is the perfect time for board games because, I mean, believe it or not, that's when we feel like we embrace the hobby and we feel more lucky and blessed that, you know, that we have this hobby, because this is a hobby where you can have enough hours and a lot of hours of fun, immersiveness, happiness in the table. And guess what? Because there's a lot of solo games. Thank you. Thankfully, universe and everybody. We have solo games, and that also gives us an amazing route of fun that we can take, and we can bring a lot of adventures to the table. So that's why we have Solo BG Podcast here. And I hope this episode, this 45-minute episode, 45-minute-ish, let's call it, I hope it brings a lot of a lot of joy and at least a little bit of happiness to your day, especially on these difficult times. And I hope everybody is okay. I hope you, my friend, on the other side of the speaker, is doing great. And if you need to contact somebody, please feel free to contact me. And you can do it through our social media, which is SoloBG Podcast at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also, if you are old school and you know, like me, and you still like to send emails, well, you can shoot me an email at solobgpodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, this is episode number 62. Like I mentioned before, and like on the title, we're going to talk about God of War. This is a game that I bought on Gen Con 2019, and I'm going to tell you, what you're going to find on the box, what you're going to find inside the box, the cover, the art, the gameplay, and then at the end, of course, like every episode, I will share my thoughts with you and tell you basically if I rather play this game solo or cooperative, and if you should get this game or if you should add this game to your board gaming collection. Anyway, like always, let's start in 3, 2, 1...
Welcome to Solo BG, your podcast for solo and cooperative board games. Here you will find everything you need to know about your favorite and most recent games. Art, rules, gameplays, and interviews. Here is your host, Derek Rodriguez.
Okay, so now we are officially in episode number 62 of Solo BG Podcast. First of all, like always, I always tell you what I've been playing recently. And besides being playing recently, I'm so happy because yesterday, I'm recording right now on Sunday, and today's date, it's Sunday 19th of April of 2020. Yesterday, on a Saturday, I was so happy and so honored that I was the guest of one of my favorite podcasts. Now, this is a podcast in Spanish that is called Planeta de Juegos. If you translate it to English, it will be like Planet of Games. So you can look for it in iTunes, you can look for them in iVoox, in any other platforms where podcast can be found. Once again, it's Planeta de Juegos, which I will spell it for you really quick. PlanetaDeJuegos. Thank God I did a good spelling contest over there. Anyway, that's how you find them. And it's completely in Spanish, though. But this is a good time if you also manage a little bit of Spanish or a lot of Spanish. Well, you can go and check it out because we talked for about 3 hours about board games, Kickstarters, solo board games, the world. I mean, it was a fantastic recording. I really had a great time. And I want to say, thanks and hi to my friends Chechu and Luis because they are the hosts of the show. Now, if you don't manage the Spanish, well, I mean, anyway, you know, it's never too late to learn. And this is a very interesting board game show. So you should check it out. Once again, Planeta de Juegos. I was there yesterday and I had a blast. Now, what I've been playing recently, thankfully, I've been playing a lot recently. And I played Batman the Animated Series Gotham City Under Siege with the Mayhem and Monsters. That's what they call it. I think Mayhem and Monsters Mayhem and Masterminds expansion. That's a game from IDW, which is designed by Richard Garfield and Michael Gugliano. I hope I pronounced it correctly. And anyway, it's a game based completely on Batman the Animated Series. You have Gotham City, and you have the buildings in 3D, which they look pretty cool. And you're trying with Batman and with Batgirl and Robin and Commissioner Gordon and Catwoman, because you're the good guys, right? You try to prevent Gotham City to fall. And then you're going to be fighting all the famous masterminds and villains from the show. You're going to be fighting the Riddle. You're going to be fighting Two-Face. You're going to be fighting Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, the Joker, Two-Face. Anyway, all of them, Clayface, Man-Bat, all the nemesis from the Batman the Animated Series, which is basically the nemesis from all the comic universe from DC. And it's very good. I really enjoy the game. I had an episode about the game. It was one of the first episodes, actually, of Solo BG Podcast. I remember I did it with my friend Jonathan, I think, is in the first 10 episodes of the show. And we talk about DC Comics, we talk about Batman, and we talk about the game, of course. That's a game that I was glad to bring it back because the last time I played that game was on July that last year. So I brought it back to the table. My wife and I, we played it, two players, which is the same as if you can play solo, you choose two characters, and we had a blast. And with the expansion, it's very cool because they bring new villains. Like I mentioned, they bring the Riddle. And the Riddle, how it works is like you're going to have different tokens around the city once he comes out, and you're not going to defeat him with damage. You're going to defeat him, guess how? Solving the Riddle. And the Riddle is two dice that you're going to roll on him, and that let's say that you have an 8 on him. Then with those tokens around the city, you need to go and fight them. Then when you fight them, you flip them, and it's going to give you an amount. Once you get 8 or more, in this case, well, you will solve the Riddle. The Two-Face is very cool because they give you, like, actually a coin. So once you go in and try to fight the Two-Face, you fight him, and every time that you deal damage to him, well, you flip the coin. And if it flips on the Scarface, he's able to manage and escape to another side of the city or to another area on the city, so he's still alive. If the coin comes the other side, then he is defeated and he's out of the game. So it's pretty cool, and I really had a blast. Of course, you know that I'm a huge DC fan and Batman fan, but once again, I was happy to bring that game almost a year after to a table and be able to tell you that this is still, for me, a very good game. I'd recommend it if you're a solo gamer. And that's Batman the Animated Series Gotham City Under Siege by IDW Games. Also, we are on a fifth episode of Charterstone by Stonemaier Games. I'm so looking forward to finish that legacy campaign of Charterstone. In that way, I can tell you all my thoughts. So far, I'm sorry, I've been taking notes, you know, things that I like from the game, things that I don't agree too much with the game. But in general, I've been taking notes. I don't want to tell you if I'm enjoying it or not because I want to do an episode about it. But you can get the hint if I already play 5 games in the campaign and I want to keep looking. I'm looking forward for the rest of the campaign. I mean, that should tell you something. Now, I'm playing it 2 players, which is the closest way to have the same feeling as if you were playing solo. So in that way, we can have that review. Now, after I finish with the campaign, my plan is to try to play at least 3 games in solo and just to make sure that the mechanics doesn't change too much. And in that way, I can give you my thoughts, and at the end of the day, I can decide if the game plays better as a competitive game or a solo board game. I also been playing another one of my favorites that I post some pictures on Instagram, and apparently there's a lot of fanatics of the game like me, and you know, the game looks beautiful on the table. I'm talking about The Walking Dead All of War, published by Mantic Games. I've been playing that game. That was one of my first big investments on the hobby, and I got that game starting on Gen Con 2015, I believe. And I have the base game, I have the scenery game booster, I have the Prelude to Woodbury, which is a solo campaign specifically. I have the Days Gone By Atlanta expansion, which is the number one, The Mile Behind Us, which is the number two, which is the farm where you, when you encounter Herschel and Maggie and all those characters. And then I have quite a few boosters pack, like Morgan, Andrea, Negan, Dale, Ruik on the horse, Shane, Lori, Carl, Glenn, etc., which there are boosters packs of individual characters that you can implement on the game. And the game, I mean, it's fantastic if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, because it's a game that you can play one player or two players. And basically, when you play one player, you're following the scenarios of the comics, or you're going through the story of the comic, you're fighting or playing that campaign, and you're making your characters stronger with items and all the stuff. The cool thing is that your characters can die, so you need to make sure that you take care of them, because, for example, even if you keep advancing on the story, most of the scenarios, of course, they're going to tell you to play it with Rick Grimes. But if Rick Grimes is dead, they tell you that, you know, which other survivors you can adapt to the story with the points and so forth. So that's a very cool mechanic that, you know, it kind of push you to take care of your characters, because if they die, well, that's it, right? That's on the solo mode. Of course, if they die, you can ignore that and you can just play the campaign as it shows in the rulebook, but I like to have it in a more immersive way, right? Anyway, I don't want to talk too much about the game because I'm so looking forward to do an episode about it. So just to let you know, I've been playing The Walking Dead All of War, the miniature game by Mantic Games. I also been playing Holmes, Sherlock, and Mycroft. That's a two-player game designed by Devir. Devir, I believe, is a publisher that is from Spain, but they have a different, offices, I guess, in Latin America. And they brought Holmes, Sherlock, and Mycroft, which is a two-player worker placement game. Very fun. It's not like a huge worker placement. It's basically you have a mat where you are drafting cards every turn. You bring new cards every turn, new characters, more locations to go, and you have different abilities to get. And at the end of the game, it's a game where the base mechanic or the base idea is to get set of cards in order to get more points. The interesting part is that let's say you get an item that has 8 points, right? So let's say it's the bullet. So the bullet, whoever has more bullets at the end of the game with that 8 will have 8 points. But the trick part is that let's say I have 6 8 bullets and my wife has 3 8 bullets. Well, at the end of the game, I'm going to get 8 points, of course, because I was the one with more bullets. But it's going to be 8 minus the amount of cards that she have from the same type. With that being said, from that 8, he's going to become a 5 because she has 3 and so forth. So you have different set of cards that you're going to be completing sets at the end of the game. And whoever has most of those will get those points minus the one that the other player has of the same type on that particular item, right? So it has a very cool mechanics of getting points at the end of the game. Once again, it's a, you know, simple game, easy to learn, nice two-player game, nothing crazy, but it's a game that I still have in my collection, and I like to bring it once in a while when I have the feeling to play a, you know, kind of an easy set of worker placement two-player game. That will be probably Home. So, yeah, I recommend it, just to keep in mind that it's nothing big, right? Also, I've been playing another game that really surprised me recently, and I got the expansion, and I'm so looking forward to play the campaign. And I'm talking about Unearth, with the Lost Tribe expansion. Once again, it falls in the same category as right now that I don't want to tell you too much about the game, like the Walking Dead, because I'm trying to plan another episode for that game, and that's published by Brotherwise Games, the same ones that they made Boss Monsters or A Call to Adventure. You know, so far their games are being enjoyable, so I'm so looking forward once again to tell, like I told you, to play the whole campaign of Unearth, but also to do an episode about it. I also play another game that I found it at a very good price on Amazon, and I'm talking about It's a Wonderful World by Lucky Duck Games, Ori Games, and La Boite de You. I hope I pronounced it correctly. Sorry for my French. which is, I believe it translates to the box of games, of the box of, yes, something like that. Anyway, those are the other publishers from It's a Wonderful World. It's a game that he plays 1 to 5 players. He plays 45 minutes, and it's a 14-year-old plus. And It's a Wonderful World, it's kind of a mixture between Seven Wonders and Terraforming Mars. You're trying to collect certain resources in order to build certain buildings, I guess. And with those buildings, you can produce more stuff, more resources to build more and get more victory points. Very simple to learn. And once again, oh, man. It falls in the same categories. I'm sorry, my friend, that I don't want to spoil you too much because I'm so planning to do an episode about it. Also, I've been playing Rise of Tribes. That's another one. One of my favorite. I can tell you that from that one. That's one of my favorite area control games, Rise of Tribes. And it has a very interesting mechanic of rolling the dice on the middle of the table. And you are selecting your dice in different actions that you can do. And I'm looking forward. I saw on the Facebook page or from my friend Mike Delisio, and also from my friend Jeremy Howard from Jambalaya Play Games, that the expansion with a solo mode is coming soon. And I'm so happy for that, and I'm looking forward to try that expansion, because Rise of Tribes, it's easily on my top 3 or top 4 area control games. I love that game so much, I can tell you that. So you already know when I do an episode about Rise of Tribes, you will know already what are my thoughts, okay? So we will have to do the episode different because you already know what I think. Anyway, I've been playing that, and I've been playing also Marvel Champions, the card game. Of course, everybody knows that game, very famous recently. And, you know, I've been playing that game. Very simple. It's like we were talking on the podcast yesterday when we were recording it with, like, the one that I told you that is in Spanish. It's like a rock and roll song, right? Like something fun, something that you can play in 30 minutes. That's it. Not too much setup, a lot of fun, and yeah. So even for me that I'm not a huge Marvel fan, that game still, I enjoy it a lot. That's what I've been playing recently because, of course, these are the times to play games and listen to podcasts. And because of that, now we're going to talk about God of War, the card game, once again published by Simon and designed by Alex Oltenu and Fel Barros. Of course, God of War, it's a very famous game from PlayStation. And anyway, I will tell you, I need to tell you this. Well, I will share it more for my thoughts about, the relationship between this card game and the video game. Let's start, like always, with the box and cover. Let's go over there. 3, 2, 1. Box and cover.
Box and cover.
Okay, so now we are in the box and cover section of the show, and this is the section where I told you about the art. First, the box, the size, is not a big box. It's more like, probably, I would say, like 9x9, something around that, because the standard box is 12x12, and this is a smaller one. So I will say 9x9. God of War, the card game, on the cover, you have Kratos, which is the main guy from the video game, right? And the boy, which is with him. And I believe, don't quote me on this because, I'm not a huge fan of the God of War games on PlayStation. Not because they're bad, just because I haven't been able to play them that much. And I hear very good things about them. I believe this game is based on the most recent one until today's date, which once again is April 2020. So that's why you see the boy and you see Kratos and, they're like in a little boat, like a Viking boat. I don't know what they call exactly. And you can see the land behind them, the mountains and everything. It looks pretty cool. The art on the box is pretty much the same from the video game, so it's pretty cool. It doesn't mean anything bad. You have the logo of PlayStation, where it tells you that it's an official licensed product, and the publisher, Simon Games, and once again designed by Alex Oltenu and Fel Barros. Then on the sides, you have the same illustration, and it tells you that it plays 1 to 4 players, 14+, and that it's 90 minutes per game. Oh, we're going to talk about that also. And then on the back of the game, here it comes. God of War, the card game. Deep on the bowels of Midgard, the mythical Norn seeks to guide the fate of the world. They gaze into the well of fate, Uror, which reveals endless future possibilities, allowing them to play out many timelines of events. They hope to find a path through the coming destruction. Within the wheel's deep waters, the Norns see endless combinations of heroes, villains, battles, victories, and defeats, which choices will allow Midgar to survive? Will any? Then they ask you. And God of War is the card game. It's a cooperative game for 1 to 4 players in which they control characters from the video game as they move through scenes made up of multiple cards, each with unique challenge they must overcome. Use the action cards and enhance your deck with upgrades to unleash powers against foes. Win and survive Ragnarok. Lose and witness a path that leads to destruction. And then it tells you the components of the game that we will talk a little bit once we jump inside the box. And on the back of the box, the illustration of the art is very cool. Once again, completely from the video game. Kratos, or the main guy, he's having this axe trying to go over somebody. And then the boy is with his bow and arrow trying also to shoot somebody. Of course, a monster, we hope. And then it tells you the layout of the game, how it's going to look on your table, give it or take. Anyway, that's how the box and cover looks. So now that I told you that, let's open the game and let's see what we find inside the box.
Inside the box.
Okay, so now it's time to do the audio unboxing. And like this is the first time on the show, well, like I always told you, the audio unboxing is that to give you the experience through the audio to have an unboxing. In that way, if for some reason you're not able to watch a video right now, you can, you know, bear with me with my awful accent, and I can tell you what I found inside the box, and you can picture it in your mind. In that way, if you're doing exercise or something like that, well, you don't have to watch a video because you can listen to Solo BG Podcast. Thank you for that. Anyway, I have the box here, and I always love to move the components around like you can hear. There it is. Okay, so let's open the box, which is always tricky, trying to hold the microphone. So give me 1 second while I'm trying to, let's see. There it is. It's open now. Okay. So now the first thing that you're going to find, or that we're going to find, is God of War, the card game, the rule book, and it's in English, completely in English, and it's 16 double-sided pages of their rule book. And then on the back of the rule book, like I always appreciate and I always love when they give you a summary, and it tells you the phases of the game, what you're gonna do each game in each phase, what actions you can take, and so forth and so on, and also the icons reference, which you know, you will have a tons of icons on this game, so it's good that they give you an icons reference. And then you will get all the other components, the big cards that they're gonna be for each character. And let's go over the whole components of the game. You will have 70 starting action cards, 88 upgrade cards, 6 quest cards, 4 final boss cards, 20 status cards, 10 shattered crystal cards, 92 scene cards, which is, by the way, the 92 scenes card. Those are the ones that you will be making the scenes with, and I will explain to you. And now we will talk about that in a little bit. You get also the first player token, which is pretty cool. The enemy die, tokens, more tokens that you're going to get for every character and for everything that you're going to be facing and perils during the game. You also get the 5 hero dashboard, which there are some of them, they're double side for solo mode, not all of them. And they're quite a big, they're cool. And also 6 hero standees, 6 hero plastic stands, and 1 rule book. That's what you get inside the box. The components are, you know, very standard quality. We're going to talk about it also in my thoughts. But now that we talk about the box and cover, now that we talk about what we find inside the box, let me tell you briefly and give you an idea of how the game plays. So let's go to our next section of the show.
Gameplay.
Okay, so now is the turn to tell you how God of War plays. Of course, here you don't have a remote, you don't have a control because you're not playing PlayStation, you're playing a card game, which it try to throw the idea of have something similar, right? So what you're going to do first is you're going to have a deck of, I believe, 10 quest cards, right? That include some final bosses. So anyway, you will grab all the quest cards and you're going to try to form a pyramid, but like, you know, upside down. So then you're going to have 1 card on the bottom, then 2 cards on the top, and then 3 final bosses on the top. So that's how you're going to lay out, and you're going to choose which quest do you want to first for the setup, right? Which final bosses and which quest. Once you have the first quest, it's going to give you a setup of how to lay up another big cards, which they're like the tarot size. I hope I pronounced correctly, which is T-A-R-O-T, tarot size cards. And you're going to lay them out on the table. And once you lay them out, you will see that they actually form together on a scene of the video game, either with an orc or a monster or a land or something. With that, that's something pretty cool that I really appreciate from the game. Now, each one of those cards, once again, is going to help to form the big picture of the first level or the level of the game. They will also contain symbols that they will do different things during the activation of the cards or the enemies, like in most of the cases. Also, you're going to have your standee character that you're going to decide in which row you're going to place them, right? In which column, I'm sorry, you're going to place them. Usually, every stage or every quest will be like five or six rows. So, you're going to choose in which one you're going to place it, right? So, let's say you place it on the one that is the leftmost, or the one that is following, on the one on the middle, or the one on the right, or whatever. Depends on your strategy or attack, or for attacking the enemies. Because you can do melee and range attack, which, like in every game, melee is in combat, like in contact, and range will be the one that is far away or behind the enemy. So that's the only thing that you will need to take in consideration when you place your standee in a certain area. And the other thing that you need to think about is that once an enemy attack, they usually will attack the one that is in front of him and to the sides, you know, the one that are laterals or adjacent to him, because the enemy will also do melee attacks. But also some enemies, they will do range attacks against you, and they will usually go with the character that is far away, the farthest away from him. So that's why when you're playing with two or three or four or more players, it's important to the players to decide in each row or column who is going to be the first one and then the one behind and so forth, because the attacks from the enemy will affect, depends on how the players are placed on the board. Also, each character will have their own big board for them, which it will have their health track, kind of, to play your health tokens. And also it will have a rage track, which that one will help, like in the game, for example, with Kratos. Once he hits, every time that he attacks, he gets rage points. And once he reaches the maximum rage on the number on the track, then he will be unleashed, and he will throw an ability with his rage ability once you get there. Also, each character will have a deck of cards that you're gonna start with. You're gonna shuffle them, and then you're gonna draw, your hand size, which I believe is 7, if I don't remember incorrectly. And you will have those cards to manage and to play. Now, the interesting thing here is how you're gonna be building your deck, which is very unique, because the game plays in different phases. For example, first you're gonna have the preparation phase, which is where you're gonna draw cards up to your hand limit. The hand limit can be changing from quest to quest with different rewards. Now you're going to activate your hero. You can move to any column with a free space. Trying to follow in the strategy that I explained you before and where to be. And then you can only move once per turn. And then you can play your action. So with your cards, basically you can attack. You can attack either by range or by melee. And you can be adding more powerful attack to the enemy. Now, I cannot tell you like how it's going to be against each enemy, because each quest has their own type of setup for that enemy, so it just depends. But just for you to know that you can do those two types of attack, either melee or range. You can use your rage ability that we spoke a little bit ago, if you already got there on the track. You can interact, which is with certain symbols on the card, that you're usually going to spend some cards to flip those cards, and on the other side we'll have different situations or rewards or perils or stuff like that. You can also, then after you do all of those, or some of those things during your turn, then it's going to be the scene activation. It's going to be the game or the enemy trying to go after you. So from a big deck of cards that is going to be there on the middle of the table, you're going to reveal one card, and every single card on the gaming area will have a symbol. And depends on the symbol that you reveal, that thing or situation is going to trigger. It could be the enemy attack. It could be the enemy hides. It could be many, many, many things get like poison or things like that, which they are basically cards that they occupy spaces on your hand. And, you know, it can trigger different things. And then you're going to do an extra scene activation, which is draw another card from that deck. And once again, go with the symbol and try to activate one on the game mat, which is once again made by tarot cards. And then after that, you're going to do the upgrade phase. And for example, if you're playing a solo game, you reveal two cards, one for the scene activation and one for the extra scene activation. The more players that you're playing, more scene activations that the game is going to get. So after the game attacks, from those same cards that they activate the scene, you're going to be able to grab one and put them on your discard pile. And that's how you're going to be building up your deck. Because those cards, besides giving the symbol for the activation for the game, they also will have beneficial abilities for the heroes. So you're going to be upgrading your deck in that way. And then like any deck building deck, once you run out of your deck, you shuffle your discard pile, which now contains those cards, and then draw up to your new hand. And you're going to win or lose the game depending on certain things. You're going to win if you successfully complete two quests and defeat a final boss. And you're going to lose the game if at any point the heroes are knocked down or dead, or if a quest losing condition is met. Because once you finish the first quest, then remember that pyramid that I told you, or pyramid, I hope I pronounced it correctly, that it's upside down. Once you finish the first quest, then you're going to discard that one, and then you're going to have two quests more. And you're going to choose which one of those you want to play now. And the one that you choose, you're going to do the setup for that quest that it will instruct you on the card, and it's going to tell you a little bit of narrative, like what's going on. And then the other quest that you didn't choose, you're going to flip that card, and it's going to tell you something bad that is happening right now because you didn't choose that quest. Once you finish the second quest, then for the final boss, you will have three cards, because remember, the pyramid is upside down. So you're going to choose one of those final boss to fight. You're going to do the setup with the tarot cards again, and the other two final bosses, you're going to flip them face down, and they will have a consequence that you will need to face when you are fighting that final boss. And if you're able to kill that final boss, well, you were able to be the god of war and defeat all the evilness in the world. So that's how it plays. Now that I explained you very briefly, because this game have a lot of symbols, a lot of things that they will be coming to play while you playing, I guess, or every quest will have a different setup. But anyway, now that we talked very briefly on how the game plays, let me tell you if I rather play this game solo or cooperative, and if this is a game that I recommend for you. So let's go to our next section of the show.
Solo or cooperative.
Okay, so now we are in my favorite section of the show, which is where I tell you if I rather play the game solo or cooperative, or if I really recommend you this game. Once again, God of War, the card game, I got it on Gen Con 2019. I was so... If you go and listen to the pre-Gen Con episode that I record, I was so looking forward for this game. And that was one of my first acquisition on the first day of Gen Con. And I remember like running to the Simon booth because I was wanting to get this one, and they actually give me a promo. Then I came home and I didn't have a chance to play because I came with a bunch of games until probably 2 or 3 months ago. And then I've been playing that game a few times already for the purpose of doing an episode, right? And, you know, God of War, first of all, I was expecting an adventure game, like in the kind of like the same aspect of, I don't know, for some reason I was thinking something like Aeon Sand or something like, the Pathfinder, the adventure card game or something. And I found out that, yes, it is a deck building, but at the same time, it has a very puzzle-y feeling, probably because how you set up the each quest with the tarot cards, with the big cards, or it could be because the amount of symbols that you will face. The rulebook, everything is there, but still, at least for me, it pushed me a little bit to go to Board Game Geek or to watch some videos, because I found that even if it's all here, I feel like it wasn't made like in an aspect like a very easy understandable, if that makes sense. So I don't think it's a very straightforward rulebook. Once again, this could be me only, and this is just my perception. But I really appreciate the summary that they give you in the back, because once you understand the game completely, the summary, it will be a very, very easy to reference, you know, page to go where you're playing the game. But for me, at least, to find different things on, or to understand how different bosses triggers or how different quests will be setting up and things like that, I had to go to Board Game Geek. I played one of the God of War's video game. It wasn't the more recently one. And I remember when I played it, it was, I think, the first one or the second one, I did enjoy it a lot. And because those good memories from that game, I was very excited of trying this one. And I was expecting more. I need to be honest with you. I was expecting more for a God of War game. I was expecting more immersiveness, more adventure. And I know that Eric Lang also worked in the process of designing this game. So that's that. I was expecting more. We will talk more about my thoughts in a little bit. Now, going to the question, if I rather play this game solo or cooperative, I don't have any question about any doubt to tell you that I much rather play this game solo. Why? Because the game is long for what it is. And the game is long and it's not a very immersive game. So if you're a huge fan of God of War and you want to bring that God of War sensation to the table, you probably won't find it here. The theme is there, but it's not very immersive. But definitely, I don't see myself trying to bring more players or my friends to play this game. I much rather play the game solo, either solo as a two-player or solo with the official solo mode, which you have. We didn't talk about it on the gameplay, but basically, you have your character Kratos, with the deck, and also you have two different allies, the boy and the other another character that I don't remember the name, the one with it's only the head. And they will be, you are able to select an ability from them once per quest. But once you finish the quest, you can refresh those abilities and use them to your convenience. So if you play it that way, or if you play two decks, or two characters with one player, still, I much rather play this game solo. Now, once again, I was expecting more from the game. And for me, it's just that immersiveness, it wasn't there. The theme, once again, is there. The God of War theme, of course, is there. But I was expecting different mechanics. I was expecting more adventures, more enjoyable situation. And it was more like sometimes a headache to understand every single piece of the quest. Sometimes how it triggers, when it triggers, and things like that. And also the way that you build your deck. Yes, it's cool because, it's from the same cards that are going to be working against you at the beginning, but at the same time it's similar in the way that, like, every deck building that you get your deck on your discard pile, then shuffle it and then draw five cards. I was expecting to see a different mechanic, probably like Aeon Sand, right? Like, I've been playing recently Aeon Sand, the new age, and I've been having a very unique surprise with that game. But in this game, God of War, it's more as a puzzle-y game, and with the God of War theme, that a God of War board game that you will enjoy, and it will be immersive and it will be fantastic, and you will spend hours and hours and hours of fun. So because of that, those were my thoughts. The components are good quality. The standees there look good. It's good. I don't think you need minis for this game. The standees looks great. They have the illustrations from the PlayStation, which I think that's a big, big, big plus for the game, because the art and the illustration coming from PlayStation, It's a automatic as successful so for this game. So that looks good. I much rather have the illustrations from the game than if they would have made a comic or another kind of art with the game. So I really appreciate from Simon bringing the PlayStation art to the game. I think it's great. I think it looks great. It looks good on the table. Don't get me wrong. I post some pictures on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Solo BG Podcast. I got a few amount of likes, and it looks good on the table. It looks like it can give you like that adventurous aspect of the game, but I need to tell you that it's not. That is more like a possibly God of War deck building game, I guess. So that's what you're gonna get on the game. My ranking going from 0 to 5, where zero, it's a game that you hate, that you don't even want to waste energy in burning, and 5, it's a game that you love and you are willing to bring every single night to the table. For me, God of War will fall on the category of being between a 2.5 to a 2.8, not even the 3. And once again, I was expecting more I was trying, like I said, very excited on the Gen Con to get this game. I even run for the Simon booth to get a copy, but it's not what I thought it was going to be. And now that I share with you my ranking, I want to share with you the Board Game Geek ranking. So on Board Game Geek, it has a 7.0, and it's with a weight complexity of 2.2 out of 5, with 229 ratings. So more or less, give or take the same numbers that I'm giving to the rating. So that's God of War. The game, I believe you can find it right now, of course, in these difficult times when most of the gaming stores are closed. You can find it on Amazon, and I'm looking at it right now, and that way I can give you the price. You can find it there, and it's not that crazy expensive, right? Right now, on Amazon, it's $31.99 American dollars that you can get this game from Amazon, because unfortunately most of the gaming stores are closed. Now, if you're able to get to support your gaming stores, well, I always recommend to go and do it and buy it from them. Or if you can get a gift card or something right now while they are closed, in that way, when the time comes back and they open, you want to get this game, well, probably it will be better to do it that way. Anyway, this was God of War, the card game, once again by Simon Games. I wish I could give you a bigger rating for this one, but it was like I mentioned, I was expecting other kind of experience, and I got a Puzzle League card game with the theme of God of War. And I'm pretty sure that I much rather go to the PlayStation and get the God of War video game and knock myself out with a lot of fun than, you know, playing something like this, which I much rather play other types of adventure games, that card games that are more immersive. Anyway, I hope you agree with my review. I hope you can give it a try as well. In that way, you can share your thoughts with me and tell me what do you think about God of War. And please, you know that you can reach out to me with that and many, many, many other comments, or tell me whatever you want, either to my Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at SoloBGPodcast. You can also shoot me an email at SoloBGPodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, I'm so looking forward to record another episode to talk to you through the speaker next week. And yes, that's it. God of War, the card game. And you know, just be safe. Stay safe. Be fun. Play games and enjoy these difficult times, at least on the table. I wish you all the best. I hope for you all the best, my friend on the other side of the speaker. And once again, if you need to, please reach out to me, because I'm here for you. Anyway, this was Solo BG Podcast, episode number 62. And like always, remember,
for victory, go tell your friends.
Till next time, see you through the speaker and at the tabletop.